Well, good evening, everyone. This is Phil Giuliotti, and it's Saturday night, and I've been asked by a lot of people to make some comments about the coronavirus, and I know it can be kind of depressing to be watching the news, and we know that these things are happening for a reason, and I think that there's actually two main reasons. One is what is happening in the sense of the world, and the other is a sense of what has been happening in the church. And we've seen over the last couple of decades tremendous differences of how things used to be to how they are now. And we've seen this in the churches, we've seen this in the world, and everybody who's over the age of about 45 can remember a time when things were a lot different. And since we weren't able to have one in Messiah Friday night, and we've been going through a series of teachings about this season of Lent that we're in and preparing to understand what's happened at the cross, and we went over a lot of Old Testament teachings on that and some teachings from 1 Corinthians that Paul did, which were very powerful about the cross being the center of everything. The cross is the center of salvation history. And if you go to the YouTube channel, which is One in Messiah Gift of Grace Ministries, that's One in Messiah Gift of Grace Ministries. I know that's kind of awkward, but it was set up a couple of years ago, and it's very difficult to change the name. And I'm so technological that I don't want to mess everything up. But if you go to that site, and again, it's One in Messiah Gift of Grace Ministries, you can see the teachings from the last few Friday nights. And the Lord has been talking to me for quite a while, actually probably 6 or 8 months now, to address the problems in the church. And we did some talks about false teachers, and we did some talk about false doctrines, and we did some talk about the church becoming more and more like the world and less like the kingdom of God. And we're going to get to that because that's a very important topic in my personal psyche. But I thought tonight, since everywhere you go, people are wondering, why is this happening? Why is this so bad? We've had pandemics before, and I remember, you know, a handful of them in my lifetime. And this seems to be different. This seems to be more inclusive. This seems to be a more serious type of thing that probably is not just going to disappear anytime soon. And the other interesting thing is it's been accompanied by the closing of every church. I don't think there's a church that's open anywhere in certainly the Midwest and the Eastern and Western United States. I don't know about if you go to Montana, but certainly in populated areas, every church is closed. Online services are, maybe okay, but certainly don't cut it. Being in an online service certainly does not follow from what the writer to the Hebrews said when he wrote, "Don't forsake the assembling of the brethren." But now we're in a situation where we can't have the assembling of the brethren. So tonight, and these are going to be much shorter teachings than you guys are used to. I know you're all saying, "Finally, whoopee." But it's going to be shorter, but it's going to kind of lay the groundwork from the secular perspective of why some of these things are happening. And let me say right off the bat that I am not saying that this is the end of the world. This doesn't mean Jesus is coming tonight or tomorrow morning. I hope he does. But there are still other prophetic events that haven't happened yet. But this is certainly an example of the chastisements that are going to come on the earth. Remember, Jesus said, men will faint for what is coming over the earth. And this is not the beginning, because he also said these things will be like a woman in labor. I've never been in labor, but I've been with my wife while she was in labor, and all of you women out there that have had babies know that you start with minor contractions, and then it gets a little more forceful, and then it gets more forceful, and then it gets more frequent and more forceful, and then the baby's born. So Jesus himself said that when, as the time approaches, it's going to be like a woman in labor. And so all of these events, including coronavirus, has to be taken into context with everything else. Yes, in the last 2 to 3 months, there have been a lot of earthquakes all over the world. Jesus said before the second coming, there'll be earthquakes in diverse places. Well, there's always been earthquakes. Secondly, there has been unusual weather with tornadoes in January and February. Nashville recently had one. We've had weird winter weather, so much flooding through the American Midwest, and the flooding's also taken place in Japan and in Korea and in Italy and in France. And even the Sea of Galilee is at the highest level that has been in a long time, because they had so much rain over the winter that they don't normally get. And so these things are natural factors. There's political factors. Israel is reestablished as a nation, which before Israel was reestablished, we couldn't be in an end time scenario for various reasons, which we'll get into when we talk about the church. But suffice it to say that before 1948, we couldn't be in the final end time scenarios. So all these things have to be taken in context. We've seen a movement to one world government, one world authority. Even the Pope indicated that there should be a one world authority that nations would surrender their authority to in order to help fight so-called climate change. Can't remember now if it's global warming or climate change. I guess it's climate change. I'm being sarcastic. But the environment, which has taken over the gospel, basically, we'll get to that, is now affecting even the highest levels within the Catholic Church and within many other churches. And I'm speaking in general. I'm not just going to pick out one church to talk about. But here's the ultimate authority in the Roman Catholic Church saying that each nation should be ready to surrender its sovereignty to a global unit. The economy has become one world. And this is one of the reasons that the media and Europe and other places just can't stand Donald Trump, because he has kind of thrown a wrench into the one world, new world order. You know, the Pope recently said there needs, in fact, in May, there's going to be a conference at the Vatican, which is going to talk about how there has to be a global initiative to educate children. That this has to be done by every country, by every society, by every setting. The children need to be educated in a certain way. But let's take the fundamentals. In 1973, in the Roe versus Wade decision, and the woman who was Roe, whose name was Norma Jean McCorvey, was a friend of mine. She died about, 3 years ago now. But she was a very quiet, humble woman who, after being the test case of the decision and then working, about 30 years at an abortion clinic, had a conversion experience and came to know Jesus as her personal Lord and Savior and repented of all the things she had done, and was publicly baptized in front of the clinic where she worked so that her co-workers would see what was happening. And since 1973, there have now been over 62 million babies killed just in this country. Now, God is the author of life. Life begins at the moment of conception. A human being is not a dog or a cat or a supercharged chimpanzee or some kind of supercharged amoeba. Human beings are made in the image and likeness of God. And God is the author of life. He decides who is conceived, who is born. And as the psalmist said, King David writes in Psalm 139, all our days are known to him before even one of them is lived out. And, you know, he tells the prophet Jeremiah, who was a teenager when he was called, in chapter 1, verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before he was formed in the womb, he knew Jeremiah. Now, how could that be? Well, because he knew he was going to create Jeremiah and had a plan and purpose for his life. But now we've decided that we will decide who's to be born, when they're to be born. Now, even if they're going to be a male or a female, if you're going to have another girl and you already have three girls, well, let's get rid of this baby and hope maybe next time to have a boy. You have two boys and you're really counting on a girl and you find out it's a boy. Well, you know, maybe we'll terminate this pregnancy and we'll try again. The baby has some medical or developmental issue that can be found out, and we don't want to deal with this. We don't think the medical community should have to deal with this. We're going to put an end to this. And I speak to this very personally because one of my grandsons was going to have major developmental issues, and termination of the pregnancy was recommended, but that was not done, thank God. And after many months of prayer of friends of ours in the United States and in Mexico and in Israel and pretty much many other countries that we have had ministry experience in, he had a healing experience in the womb. And when he was born, the doctors and nurses were shocked. In fact, they're still talking about him at University Hospitals of Cleveland, and he's 9 years old now. So we've taken it upon ourselves to decide who's going to be born, when he's going to be born, and if it's convenient or not for us if that person is born. Secondly, we have the issue of same-sex so-called marriage. I think the Bible speaks pretty clearly to this. Adam and Eve were created as male and female. In the beginning, male and female, he created them. And God says in the book of Genesis, before anybody else had a father and mother, he said, a man will leave his mother and cling to his wife. Jesus requotes that and says, a man leaves his mother and father and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh. And they're permanently joined together. So homosexuality, which is widely condemned in the scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, despite what you hear on television, and despite what these, quote, Catholics, unquote, in the media and in the Congress will say about this, this is roundly condemned in the scriptures. And in fact, it's roundly condemned in any catechism that you read. So now we've perverted the union between a man and a woman into a same-sex, quote, union, unquote. So the definition of marriage has been shaken. The definition of family has been shaken. Well, it's not just a man and a woman and a kid or two. It can be a man and a man and a kid, or it can be two women and three kids, or it can be who knows what other combinations they'll come up with. So the idea of the bond that God instituted in the Garden of Eden is being destroyed in formerly Christian countries. And I say formerly Christian because there's not many Christian countries left. And when you have time, Google what's gone on in Ireland over the past year, and you will be absolutely stunned. And so, along with that, we have divorce, which is now pretty much accepted by almost every church, and is pretty much acceptable reasons are, oh, well, we weren't getting along. Oh, well, we weren't right for each other. Oh, well, I found somebody else who understands me better. Oh, well, I found somebody else that I like better. Well, that's not the biblical definition of marriage. This is a covenant which is not supposed to be dissolved. Jesus was quite clear on this, that if you divorce someone and marry another, you're committing adultery. And he says, unless there are specific circumstances. Now, granted, there are specific circumstances, and I'm not here to talk about divorce. What I am here to mention, though, is the acceptance of this. The fact that it's now not only socially accepted, but it's accepted in the various churches. And then we come to gender. Well, congratulations, Mrs. Jones, you have a baby boy. And Mrs. Jones says, oh, wait a minute. You say that it's a boy, but I don't know that it's a boy. Oh, sure, sure. The baby has the genitalia of a boy, but he may decide later that he wants to be a girl. He may decide when he's 5, when he's 7, when he's 16, when he's 20, that he was just born wrong. Male and female, he created them. And so now we not only have abortion, the destruction of marriage, divorce. Now we have, well, we're not really sure who's a male and who's a female. We're not even sure which bathrooms to use. And, you know, if this wasn't so serious, it would be laughable. And if you read in the second, if you read in the book of Romans, which most of you who know me know that's my second favorite book, Romans chapter 1, the second half of the chapter, read that over for your homework from about verse 16 on. It'll basically show you the world we live in today. We've turned away from God. We worship the creature rather than the creator. We totally approve of same-sex relationships. And God will condemn us for that. And you really should read that because it's really good, and we don't have time in this short thing to study that. But maybe someday we'll do a study on it. You can probably find one on my Gift of Grace Ministries website. But so those are fundamental things. Those are core issues of creation that we have now tampered with. You know, God points out throughout the Old Testament, throughout the Tanakh, that when there's violation of his laws, there will be punishment, there will be consequences. As the violations become worse, the consequences will become worse. That eventually there will be plagues and there will be pestilences, and there'll be exiles, and we're not going to be exiled from the land like the Israelites were, but we're having the plagues and the pestilences. We're going to have the equivalent of exile if we don't turn things around. Next episode, we'll be talking about the churches, but these are kind of the secular, and because of this, we've asked God to leave our society, because after all, you know, if you turn on the TV and you know, people can talk about Buddha all day long, and people go, oh, yes, yes. Krishna, oh, wonderful, yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, the Dalai Lama is such a wonderful man. He's so peaceful and so learned. And, oh, yes. They even take Islam, who, well, pretty much would execute gay people, would cut off the hands of thieves. Women would be second-class citizens. They're just now getting the right to drive in Saudi Arabia. They'll even take Islam over Christianity because we can't have this Jesus stuff. We're all offended. We're all offended by this Jesus stuff. And why are we offended? Because we know deep down inside that we're going against that law. Because the law's been written inside of us as well. Not just on stone tablets. So the media, the entertainment industry, they can't stomach that because they want to be their own masters. They want to be their own bosses. They want to be independent of anybody. No one can tell me what to do because I'm rich and I'm famous and I can do whatever I want. And these kind of things are now everywhere, and we're seeing, and God points out to us, that we're going to see this happen. We're going to see that as time goes on, there's going to be punishment for this. There's going to be judgment for this. So this is just a short kind of capsule of the events going on. And then we're going to get into what actually happened even in the churches over the last 10 to 20 years. And I'll let you know when I'm going to do the next one. And, of course, It's all going to be on the YouTube channel. And if you want to listen to podcasts, there's over 500 of them now. You can search in your podcast app for Dr. Phil / Gift of Grace. That's Dr. Phil / Gift of Grace. And there's 500 and some teachings you can go to. So we'll see you soon.